Everybody hear me this morning? Hey, good to see y'all. Good to see some faces. Let me hear something. I'm not by myself, am I? There we go. There we go. Well, welcome to Church Under the Oak. Hopefully the rain. We still want the rain to come. We just want it to hold off until a little bit after 11. Amen? So we need the rain, so we're hoping for it. We're just grateful to be together outside. We're, you know, every step we take is closer to us kind of getting back together in the sanctuary. So we've done live stream, we've done drive-in service, and now we get to do this Church Under the Oak. So I'm thankful for all those different ways we can get together, and I'm thankful that it's looking like sooner rather than later we can be back together in the sanctuary. So thank y'all for being here this morning. Love you guys. I've missed y'all. Good to see your faces. And good to be with you this morning. We're going to start with just announcements and then a word of prayer. Brother Robert's going to lead us in worship, and then we'll dive into the word together, okay? So I want to welcome anybody that's watching on Facebook this morning. Thank y'all for being with us. And so let's see. We're going to continue with Sunday mornings we'll do here together, and then everything else we'll do on Facebook for now, until we're able to kind of go back to normal. So just we'll kind of be assessing things weekly, and we'll let y'all know the plan kind of as we go. So that's where we're at right now. So we do Wednesday night Bible study on Facebook, and then we do Sunday mornings here. And then we'll get back to doing maybe a prayer meeting and some worship on Sunday nights at some point. I'm kind of praying through that. So we'll be looking into that. So all right, I'm rambling. Let me get to the point. Brother Herb shared a card. I want to read this card before we have a word of prayer. It says, with special thanks to all of you, to know you is to know people who are kind, considerate, and thoughtful. To know you is to be grateful for the special things you do, for everything you've done, for being the special people that you are. Thank you so very much. And then Brother Herb wrote, to see and feel God's great love working through his people is awesome. What more can I say but thanks? God bless, in Christ's love, Brother Herb and family. So we're still praying for y'all. And as you're missing and mourning Miss Terry, so just we love you, Brother Herb. Love your family. We're going to keep praying for you. And thank you for this card. All right. There are a lot of prayer needs. Amongst the people that are here, amongst people watching on Facebook, people that can't be here this morning. Don't have time to go through them all this morning, but just know that there are a lot of people that are going through stuff, you know, physical, all kinds of different things. So be in prayer. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for our community. If we're going to be anything, let's be a church that prays. Amen. All right, well, let's with that in mind, let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, that we can gather together like this. So good to see your people gathered together here. We just pray, Lord, that just like any service that we would do in the sanctuary or anywhere else, God, we're here for one reason only, and that is to glorify you. So I pray that you would anoint us this morning to worship you with all we've got. I pray that we will look at your word, look to your word for guidance, for instruction, and that we'll be ready to hear and receive your word. And I just pray that everything that's done will glorify you, God. So we love you. We ask all these things in the precious and holy name of Jesus. If you agree with that prayer, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Robert, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Everybody out here this morning. I want to thank y'all for putting up with the guitar for the last several weeks there. I talked with Diane this week, and she'll be back just as quickly as possible as we can get in the building. So y'all can look forward to that in time to come. But for today, we're going to start out singing We Bow Down. And you're Lord of creation, Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea, and you were Lord of the heavens before there was time. So let's sing that together and worship the Lord today as we look to Him for our hope, our strength, our guidance, our futures. You are Lord of creation.
Thank you. gonna do is one entitled In Christ Alone. And you may know this one. We've sang it before.
Thank you.
Let's do that one more time. Good and loud, all right? Matt, I want to hear you back.
back there. Oh, he said, okay. Here we go. God is good?
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Amen. Yes, he is. All right. So we have been focusing on prayer for the last month or so. And this will be the final sermon in this series on prayer. It's definitely not the last time that we'll talk about or think about prayer. But as far as this particular sermon series, we're wrapping it up today. And so in this last sermon on prayer, we're going to attempt to answer three questions together this morning. And by answering these questions, my hope is that we'll understand why prayers sometimes go unanswered, and that we'll understand how we should respond to unanswered prayers. So this is sort of a multi-topic sermon. Mostly we're talking about unanswered prayers, but we're also going to talk about persevering in prayer. And so I want to give you examples quickly of those two things, unanswered prayer and persevering in prayer. So an example of unanswered prayer, how many people know who Ted Turner is? He is, a millionaire, cable TV mogul, used to own my favorite baseball team, the Atlanta Braves. And he's, years ago, he was being awarded a humanitarian award for his work in the environment. And during his speech, he addressed all kinds of things, but he talked about faith, ironically enough. And he said that he grew up in a Christian home, and that they were very devout, and that as a young man, he had considered going and being a missionary. But at some point in his life, his sister got sick. And so for a long time, him and his family prayed that sister would recover and she would get better. But she didn't recover. She eventually passed away. And Ted Turner said, when she passed away and my prayers were unanswered, I was done with God, done with the church. And so, unfortunately, when you hear the stories of people that have left the church, left the faith, a lot of times something that they'll bring up is, I went through a hard time, I prayed about it, I believed, and the situation didn't get better, it actually got worse. And so that it causes them to leave. An example of persevering in prayer, and you'll see how the two of these work together as we go on. A man named George Mueller was an evangelist in the 19th century. So he preached for a lot of years. He also had a heart to help orphans, and he started several different orphanages that are still going today, still ministering to literally thousands and thousands of orphans. And he had a burden on his heart at one point in his life for five different friends of his that didn't know the Lord. And so he committed to pray for them until they got saved. And so it took about a year, but one of those friends got saved after about a year. 10 years later, two more of those friends got saved. So he's 10 years into praying, three of the five have been saved. 25 years down the line, the fourth friend gets saved. So now he's got one friend that he's left out of that group that hadn't been saved yet. He continues to pray, gets towards the end of his life. His health's declining. So after 52 years of faithful praying, this friend still hasn't come to know the Lord. And George Mueller dies. Shortly after his death, weeks after his death, that fifth friend prayed to receive Jesus. And so 52 years of praying led to salvation for five souls. That's persevering in prayer. All right, and so we're going to talk about both of those things. Prayer is one of the, if not the most important things that we do as Christians, but it can be so hard, and I'm speaking for myself, it can be so hard to pray consistently and to develop a consistent prayer life, right? Prayer can be frustrating, but it's meant to be a blessing. God, that's why God gives us the ability to commune with him and speak to him. It's supposed to be a blessing in our lives. So I hope that our time the last few weeks in this sermon series on prayer, and I hope our time together this morning thinking through prayer will help us to reach the place where prayer is a blessing in our lives. That's my hope. That's my prayer for us, all right? Let's go to the Lord before we dive into the Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for the opportunity to be together with my church family, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that where we are, you are. Your church is not contained in any four walls. You are here with us. I thank you for this weather that's held off so far. And I pray, God, that you would bless this service. I pray that you would bless the reading of your word, the preaching of your word, the hearing of your word, and that we would all leave here closer to you. God, we love you. Thank you for sending Jesus to take our place. Thank you for providing salvation for us when there was no possible way we could find salvation anywhere else, and we could never make salvation happen on our own. God, it was only through Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for that, God. Bless us today. Be with us. We love you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So, unanswered prayers, what we're talking about this morning. I got three questions I want us to answer. So let's start with the first of those questions. If you want to jot down notes on your bulletin or in a notebook or something, you can label this one number one. Why does the Bible tell us to pray in Jesus' name and according to God's will? Why does the Bible tell us to pray in Jesus' name and according to the will of God? Let me read for us from John 14, 13, and 14. Verse 13 says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." So that seems pretty simple, right? Pretty straightforward. If you ask it in Jesus' name, he says he'll do it. There's nothing I can do about that wind on the mic. I apologize. Even though that's simple, right? Asking his name and he'll do it. How many of you can testify like me that you've prayed for something in Jesus' name before and it didn't happen or hasn't happened yet? Has anybody else ever prayed for something and hadn't received that answer to prayer? Yeah, most, if not all of us, have prayed before and didn't get the answer we were seeking. Maybe didn't get an answer at all. Maybe the answer was wait. So how can both things be true? How can what I just read out of John 14 be true, but yet we all have experienced unanswered prayers? Is the Bible wrong? Is this a misprint? Absolutely not. The Bible is never wrong, and there are no misprints in God's Word. So we got to be able to figure this thing out. How can both of these be true? Part of the problem is that many people like Ted Turner and many others have incorrectly interpreted the promises of God to think that this verse and other verses like it, because there's a lot of verses that where Jesus said something very similar to this. But it's been interpreted incorrectly to where it's thought of as a guarantee that we can get whatever we want. It's kind of like saying, "Open sesame," and the secret door pops open, or the magician that does a trick and says "abracadabra," and then something crazy happens. We kind of think of it like rubbing a magic lamp and a genie pops out and has got to give us three wishes. But here's the problem with that thinking. God's not a genie in a lamp, and even more importantly, God doesn't owe anyone anything. God doesn't owe me anything. God doesn't owe you anything.
Amen.
The old hymn says, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe." It's not the other way around. He doesn't owe us anything. So why does the Bible tell us to pray in Jesus' name? Here's why. Because Jesus has authority that we don't have. That's why we're told to pray in Jesus' name. He's got authority that we don't have. I've been reading a lot so far this year. Had a lot more time to read than I thought I was going to with this quarantine. But I've been reading a lot on prayer. And one of the books that I read is called The Power of Prayer by R.A. Torrey. And Torrey uses a great illustration to help us to see the significance of praying in Jesus' name. And I want to share that with y'all. So he presents a scenario. This could be any of us, where we walk into a bank, we've got a check, our name's on the check, and we'll say it's just a small amount, right? We walk in with a $5 check into this bank. Now, this is a bank that we don't have an account in. So we walk up to that teller, we hand her that $5 check, and we say, hey, I'd like to cash this for $5. And she says, okay, sir, okay, ma'am, that'll be fine. What's your account number? Oh, I don't have an account here. You don't have an account here? No, I don't have an account here. Well, then we can't cash your check. And so you walk out, even if it was just $5, why couldn't she just give $5? That's not a lot of money, right? Because I didn't have any claim on that bank. I didn't have an account there. But say we walk outside and we get handed a check and it's not in our name. And it's in the name of somebody at that bank that does have an account there. And this check's for $1 million. You think that teller's going to cash that check? It's all dependent on if that name on that check, if they have an account there, and if they have the funds to cover it, right? So let's say the guy that handed us the check, he's got way more than $1 million. We walk in there, we hand her that check. She punches up the account. She hands us $1 million. Now, the same person, me or you, walked into that bank with two different checks, two different names on them. One time we were turned away. The other time we got what we asked for, right? What's the difference in the two scenarios? The name on the check, right? The name on the check. Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. That's Matthew 28:18. Amen. There is no name greater. There is no name higher. Nobody has authority. So if we're going with this metaphor, nobody has a bigger account than Jesus does. So when we ask in his name, he has authority we don't have. Does that make sense? That's why the Bible tells us to pray in Jesus' name. All right, so that leads us to the second part of this question. Not just why do we pray in Jesus' name, why does the Bible tell us to pray according to the will of God? Why doesn't the Bible tell us to pray according to our will? Let me read 1 John 5:14-15. It says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we've asked of him. So why should we pray according to God's will and not according to Grant's will or anybody else's will? Why should we pray according to God's will? Because our will is corrupted by sin. God's will is perfect.
Amen.
He's holy. He's blameless, sinless. But our will, much like our nature, is corrupted by sin. And so for that reason, we pray according to the will, the perfect will of God. Now, back to the reality that some prayers that are prayed in Jesus' name and according to God's will are unanswered or delayed in being answered. Everybody's got stories of unanswered prayers, right? Maybe you're praying for personal healing for a health issue, or you're praying for a loved one that's got a health issue, and you're praying faithfully in Jesus' name according to God's will. Maybe you know somebody that's not saved and you're praying for that person to get saved. You pray in Jesus' name according to God's will. Maybe there is a broken relationship in your life or in your family, and you're praying for reconciliation of that relationship. You're praying in Jesus' name according to God's will, and yet not hearing the answer that you're seeking. Well, personally, I've experienced some unanswered prayers in my life. My family lost my nephew Trey to drug overdose about a year ago. We prayed for several years that God would lead him out of addiction and help him to turn his life around. And at different times, we saw signs that that was happening, and he would do so well for a while. And then he would turn back into that addiction. We prayed in Jesus' name. We prayed according to God's will. And it is so hard to watch someone struggle and want to help them so bad and feel so powerless to do it, right? But my family's not the only one that's faced that. Many, many people have dealt with that. Why weren't those prayers answered? Well, maybe they were. Maybe they were answered in a different way than what we were praying for, right? But unanswered prayers, they're just a reality in our lives. So why does the Bible tell us to pray in Jesus' name and according to God's will? Because Jesus has authority we don't have, and because God's will is perfect and ours is not.
Amen.
All right, so that's the first question. Second question for us to consider together this morning. Why do prayers sometimes go unanswered? So we've already established that sometimes they do. Now why? Why do prayers sometimes go unanswered? Well, there's several possible reasons we could give, but this morning we're going to look at three. Okay? So I guess this is question number two, and then there's a, you can put an A, B, and C under number two. All right? So letter A can be demonic opposition can delay prayers from being answered. And you know, we don't talk about the unseen spiritual realm a whole lot. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The fact is that the enemies of God are actively battling against God and against his kingdom. We can't always see it. We can certainly see effects of it. But we know that it's true. How do we know it's true? Because the Bible tells us. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel receives a message from God through this angelic visitor. And this was a time of intense prayer and fasting on Daniel's part. And so he receives this message from an angel. And I'm going to read this for us. Daniel. I'm going to find it. There we go. Daniel chapter 10, starting in verse 12. Then he said to me, the angel said, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." From the first day he prayed, God had heard his prayers. Verse 13, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come." So did you catch what happened right there? A demonic spirit that was over the princes, the kings of Persia. This demonic spirit's over the kings of Persia. The demonic spirit's called a prince in Scripture. Resisted and fought against the angel for 3 weeks, delaying the answer to prayer. Now, just to be clear, demons can only affect things in life because God allows it. We don't know why God allows certain things, but we do know God is good. We know his ways are better, higher than our ways. And so since God is good, we trust him even when we don't understand. Amen? But demons cannot do anything that they're not allowed to do. And listen, this kind of thing did not just happen back in biblical times. This happens today in life, just like it did back then, even though we can't, most of the time we can't see it. We can't see what the devil's doing, but we can see evidence of the work of the enemy in the hatred and violence and evil that's all around us in this world. That's evidence that there's still, and enemies of God are still battling against God and against his kingdom. Let's look at one more passage about the unseen enemy. This is from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, says, if I can find it, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So this passage tells us that the enemy is a reality in our lives, and we're to stand against the enemy by putting on the armor of God. Well, Paul goes on to describe what the armor of God is, and after that, he tells us to pray at all times in the Spirit. So Paul links standing against the enemy of God with putting on the armor of God and praying at all times. So prayer is a very specific component that we have to use against the enemy when the enemy is fighting against us in our lives. All right, so that was the first one. The next reason that prayers are sometimes delayed or unanswered is human resistance. So we had demonic opposition, now we've got human resistance. Human beings can resist the work of God because he allows us to, but we can resist the work of God. An example of this, evidence for this, that human beings can resist the work of God is found in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching a sermon, and he is just laying it down for these people that are opposed to him, that are accusing him. And so he explains how God has related to the people of Israel. And he starts with Abraham and works all the way up to Moses. And he lays it out for them. And this is all stuff that they knew. But he's telling them, hey, this is why I believe in Jesus. The Old Testament backs this up. And so he's preaching this. And at one point, he turns from God dealing with Israel through Abraham and Moses. And he directs the blame towards the people that he was standing before. He was standing before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was a council of elders that in some ways ruled over the people. So Stephen standing before the Sanhedrin, and in verse 51 he says, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit." Y'all say resist. You always resist the Holy Spirit. How sad is it that these priests and these rabbis that made up this council of elders, they devoted their whole lives to studying the things of God. Not only that, they had been in the literal physical presence of the Son of God as Jesus walked the earth. They had been in his presence and they missed it. They studied the scriptures their whole lives. They saw Jesus face to face and they missed it. Stephen told them, "You resist the Holy Spirit." So I've got to imagine these people, these religious leaders that made up the Sanhedrin and that made up the Pharisees and Sadducees, they probably had people praying for them that they would become believers in Christ. They probably had friends or family members that had believed the gospel that Jesus preached. And so they probably had people praying for them. I pray that this person will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But still, they resisted the drawing of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes God is working in and through his people, but human beings resist because we have a free will. So sometimes it's demonic opposition, sometimes it's human resistance. And in the same way as they did back then, we can pray for lost friends and family members with all our hearts. We can pray in Jesus' name. But unless that person that we're praying for submits to Jesus through faith and repentance of sin, those prayers won't be answered. That doesn't mean we quit praying for them, right? As long as there's breath in their lungs and breath in our lungs, there is hope for salvation. So we keep praying, right? Just like George Mueller prayed all the way up until the time that he died. And he didn't get to see that fifth friend come to the Lord. But through all that faithful prayer, that friend did come to the Lord, even after Mueller died. We have to just keep on praying, no matter what. talk more about that in just a few minutes when we talk about persevering in prayer. All right, so the third reason that prayers are sometimes delayed or unanswered is because they don't match up with God's timing. Sometimes what we can pray it in Jesus' name, we can pray according to God's will, but sometimes it does not match up with God's timing. God has a purpose for everything. God has a timing for everything that happens. Listen, when Jesus was on this earth for those 33 years of his life, he was God in human flesh every second of it. But there was a specific time for him to begin to preach and to heal and to perform miracles. There was a specific time, it's God's timing, for that to happen. Think back to the story of Jesus and the disciples when they attended the wedding feast in Cana. Jesus' mother Mary was there. They ran out of wine at this wedding feast. And so Jesus' mother comes up to him and says, Jesus, they've run out of wine. She's insinuating, Jesus, you can do something about this, right? What did Jesus say? He said, what's that got to do with me? My time has not yet come. See, Jesus understood that he had a specific time to which he was called to do, to accomplish the mission the Father had given him. Jesus knew there was a specific, I'll get it out in a second. Jesus knew there was a specific time. And so even though he questioned it, Jesus did fix that problem that day. He did turn the water into wine. And so he took his ministry public. It was time. It was God's timing for him to do so. Another example of God's timing found in Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, the seals are being opened in heaven. And then we start in verse 9. It says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness that they had borne. Listen to what they said. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? So they're crying out, Lord, how long? What are you waiting for? Avenge us. Listen to what the scripture tells us in verse 11. Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be healed as they themselves had been. The martyrs cried out for justice, but God told them to wait. Why? Why would God tell them to wait? Because the time had not come yet. God's timing is oftentimes different than our timing. Now, we can and we should pray passionately for God to answer our prayers, but we have to remember God has ultimate authority. His timing trumps our time. Amen? All right, y'all still with me? Everybody good? Wake up. Everybody with me? God is good?
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
All right. Just checking on y'all. All right. Number three. The final question that we're going to consider this morning is, how do we respond to unanswered prayers? How do we respond to those prayers that we just haven't seen the answer to yet? We persevere in prayer and we don't lose heart. That's how we respond to unanswered prayer. We persevere, we keep on keeping on, we keep on praying. We persevere in prayer and we don't lose heart. That's how we should respond to prayers that haven't been answered yet. Jesus told us this in Luke 18. He's sharing a parable with his disciples of the persistent widow. Luke 18, chapter 1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So we persevere in prayer and we don't lose heart. This parable, it describes an evil judge that is withholding justice to this widow. But eventually, he gives in and he grants justice to this persistent widow. Not out of compassion, really, because he was annoyed with her. He wanted her to leave him alone. So he grants her justice. if an evil judge will grant justice because of persistence, how much more will the God of the universe, how much more will our perfect Heavenly Father give justice to His people when we persistently pray? So last week, we talked about continuous prayer, right? The staying in an attitude of prayer all throughout the day. Well, persistent prayer is a little different. Rather than addressing the time spent in prayer, persistent prayer addresses the commitment to pray about a particular issue over time. To persevere in prayer means to continue to pray about something even when all hope seems lost. To persevere in prayer means to continue praying about an issue no matter what obstacles are put in the way. Y'all feeling those raindrops like I am? That's what persevering in prayer is, all right? Whatever you've been praying about, church, keep on praying. It's okay to get frustrated. It's okay to wonder what's taking so long, as long as we persevere in prayer and we don't lose heart. So if you know somebody that's not saved, keep on praying for them. Don't lose heart. If you're praying for healing, keep on praying. The healing may come in this life and it may come in heaven. Either way, keep on praying. Don't lose heart. Maybe you're praying for a broken relationship to be restored. Now, there's no guarantees that that'll happen, but as long as there's breath in our lungs, there's hope for reconciliation, so keep on praying. Persevere in prayer. Don't lose heart. Whatever it is, church, keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. God is good, and He still answers prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, You are good. We thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You for the power of Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You are still answering prayer. You still hear us when we call out to You, God. And we thank You, Lord, that You're working in our lives even now, God. And help us to trust You more and more. Help us to wait and to persist in prayer while we're waiting for the answer. And help us to trust You when the answer is different than the one that we were seeking, Lord. Help us to put all of our trust, all of our hope, complete faith in You, God. We love You, Lord. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, if you're here this morning, if you're watching on Facebook, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you probably don't know what to think about a sermon like this, talking about demons and angels and praying in God's name. Right, we've talked about a lot of different spiritual issues today. But I don't think it's an accident that you're listening to this right now. I believe God has drawn you to be able to hear this. So even if you don't understand everything, listen, I don't think it's an accident that you're here. I think God is trying to speak to you. I believe God in His mercy and His grace brought all of us to this moment right here. And if you don't know Jesus, you can change that right now. You can make a decision of what you want to do with Jesus, because every person has to decide what they're going to do with Jesus at some point. We can either accept Him as Lord and Savior, or we can reject Him and be our own Lord and Savior. We may put our hope in a lot of different things in the world, but ultimately, if we reject Jesus, we're trusting in ourselves. And that's a certain path to destruction. All people have to decide, accept or reject Jesus. And so I want to call on you today, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, won't you do that today? I did it as a six-year-old little boy. I've been far from perfect since then, but I've never regretted it one second. God has been good to me. He's been patient, faithful to me. And I promise you, anything that you think you would be giving up to accept Jesus, He'll give you something much better in His place. It won't even compare. The things of this world can't hold a candle to the things that God has for His people. So listen, the Bible tells us all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that may be insulting to you. What do you mean I'm a sinner? Well, the good news is you're on level ground with every single other person. We're all sinners. All in need of a Savior, because that sin, it separates us from a holy, perfect God. And that sin deserves punishment. And Jesus, the Son of God, took our place, took our punishment, so that we don't have to. Jesus, a real, living, breathing person, God in human flesh, he lived a perfect, sinless life. He was hung up on a cross for no reason. He's guilty of nothing, but he took his place on the cross so that you and I wouldn't have to face the punishment for our sin. He died for us. So he paid the penalty. Don't ever let anybody tell you that, your penalty has been thrown away, or your penalty has been erased. No, our penalty was paid. Jesus paid the price for my sin and the price for your sin if you accept him as Lord and Savior. So we're guilty in sin, but Jesus took our place. And the Bible tells us, if we believe in our heart that Jesus died in our place and that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. So salvation, it happens when we confess and repent of our sins and we accept in faith the gift of mercy and love that Jesus gave us on the cross. When we understand that we're sinners and that Jesus made a way where there is no way, we'll be saved. It's that simple. So if you're here, if you're watching, if you're listening, if you're within the sound of my voice and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, won't you come to know him today? You'll never regret it, I promise you. If you want to make that decision, I want to ask you to pray. I'm going to say a prayer. You don't have to say the words that I'm saying. There's no magic formula. There's no specific words that you have to say. You just speak from your heart and you talk to God and you say something like this. Y'all bow your heads with me. Dear God, I understand that I'm a sinner. I understand that my sin deserves punishment, and that if I was to be hung on the cross and die, it wouldn't pay the price that my sin owes against the perfect holy God. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross and to rise again on the third day, defeating death, defeating sin. Because of Jesus, I can have eternal life in you. So forgive me of my sin, Lord. Help me to go forward this day living for you. I love you, Lord. In your name I pray, amen. If you prayed anything like that, then praise God, you just got saved. And I want to hear about that so I can rejoice with you and so I can talk to you about the next steps that you take as a believer. It's not an easy road, but it's the best road you can take, I promise you. God's going to take every step of the way with you. And so I'd love to be able to just rejoice with you and help you figure out the next step, whether you want to give the public proclamation that you've been saved through baptism, believer's baptism. If you got any questions about that, I'd love to talk with you about that. If you're sitting here and you've been listening to this and God's been doing something in your heart, calling on you to respond in some way, whether you need prayer, whether you want to join the church, whether you want to set up a baptism, whatever it is, Brother Robert's going to play for us in just a second, and we're going to sing a closing song. And so if you're here and you want to respond in any way, you can just come right up here and talk with me. If you're on Facebook, you can just contact me through Facebook, and I would love to talk with you, pray with you about anything that God might be doing in your life, all right? Let's pray one more time before we worship. Heavenly Father, Lord, I praise you and thank you for what you've done today. I thank you for your word that it is true and it's always good and beneficial for us. Help us to receive your word today faithfully and to go forward living out your word. We love you, God. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Robert, you want to lead us? Thank you. thank y'all so much for being here this morning. Love you guys. Thank you, Lord, for letting the rain hold off. So good to be with y'all. I look forward to doing this again sometime. Look forward to being back in the church house. If there's anything that I can do for you as your pastor, I know things are still weird right now. There's still some restrictions. But, hey, I'm more than a preacher. I'm your pastor. If there's any way I can serve you, if there's any way I can help you, if there's any way I can pray for you, please get in contact with me. I would love to do that for you. We're done. So thank y'all for being here. You are dismissed. Thank you.